And it is 10 a.m. in the West Coast. It is 1 p.m. in the East Coast, and it is 7 p.m. in Jerusalem, the capital of Israel. Today, October 26, 2015, and this is Orly Benny Davis, and this is The Impossible Truth. Today on BBS Radio, we are going to remember Prime Minister Yitzhak Rabin and his heroism for the state of Israel. After that, we are going to discuss about those heroes that we take for granted, and they are all around the world. They're trying to keep us safe and save lives every day, and it's not easy because the challenge is everywhere, and the world seems to go in chaos. But bear in mind that we're gonna win. The light is going to win, and the darkness, that stage of darkness, is going to fade away soon. It's not taking for granted that we'll win, but we have the spirit and the power. And, you know, to win wars, it takes the heart. Like in sports, you have to have a heart to win a game. And it's so important to remember those heroes that, you know, sacrifice their life for us, sacrifice their everyday being for the sake of humanity. And today we commemorate 20 years since the killing, the senseless killing of the Prime Minister of Israel, Yitzhak Rabin. It wasn't a surprise, you know, for some people, but it was a shock to all of us. We were devastated. Something like that we didn't expect from the Jewish state. Killing of a prime minister that was pursuing peace. He was running all around just to help, to work, to talk, to bridge the gap, and to make things happen. He won the Nobel Peace Prize, and he surely deserved it. He was in Washington, D.C. before, you know, a year before, and we all saw him with President Clinton, that were like a son to him, and they love each other very much. And that's where I want to start today, with President Clinton remarks on the death of Prime Minister Rabin. Let's listen to it.
The world has lost one of its greatest men. A warrior for his nation's freedom, and now a martyr for his nation's peace. To Leah Rabin and her children, Hillary and I send our love and our prayers. To the people of Israel, I want you to know that the hearts and prayers of all Americans are with you. Just as America has stood by you in moments of crisis and triumph, so now, we all stand by you in this moment of grieving and loss. For half a century, Yitzhak Rabin risked his life to defend his country. Today, he gave his life to bring it a lasting peace. His last act, his last words, were in defense of that peace he did so much to create. Peace must be, and peace will be, Prime Minister Rabin's lasting legacy. Tonight, the land for which he gave his life is in mourning. But I want the world to remember what Prime Minister Rabin said here at the White House barely 1 month ago. And I quote, "We should not let the land flowing with milk and honey become a land flowing with blood and tears. Don't let it happen." Now it falls to us, all those in Israel, throughout the Middle East, and around the world who yearn for and love peace, to make sure it doesn't happen. Yitzhak Rabin was my partner and my friend. I admired him, and I loved him very much. Because words cannot express my true feelings, let me just say, Shalom, Haver. Goodbye, friend.
And we are back. It's Orly Benny Davis with The Impossible Truth, the 20 years memorial for Yitzhak Rabin, and that was President Clinton's words on the day that the Prime Minister got shot. You know, it was a crazy day because I remember it was Saturday. I was in Georgia, you know, shopping when I heard the news. It was afternoon, but in Israel it was night. That night there was a big, big rally for peace in the center of Tel Aviv. You know, there is a square in Tel Aviv where all the rally takes place, and everybody comes there to do whatever. You know, there is every time there is a different agenda of the day, and the rally of peace was taking place. You know, it used to be called the Square of the Kings, you know, the Kings of Israel. And since then it's changed to the Yitzhak Rabin Square for his memory, and, you know, justly so, he lost his life there. And he was on stage speaking for peace, on stage fighting against all those goons that didn't want it to happen. And he was talking about, you know, the fight for to keep, you know, Israel safe. And after that, there were some songs of peace, and the words were in his pocket where he got down, you know, from the stage. And he walked to the car, which was supposedly, you know, there to pick him up. And there was a guy there that shot him in the back, 3 bullets. They rushed him to the hospital, and everybody went berserk. There was a chaos everywhere. And they took him in, and after some time, they announced him dead. That was a blow to the peace process. That was a blow to the, you know, to the state of Israel. That was a blow to every, you know, man and woman who believes for a minute, you know, that everything is going to turn to be okay. And some bastards killed the dream. I must tell you what happened after that. After that, there was all hell broke loose because the people of Israel were divided. There were some people who thought about, you know, blaming the right wing. Sorry. The right wing for doing so because apparently the guy that was the murderer was, you know, was having a yarmulke and he took it off before. And he belonged to the fraction of the right wing. And the left wing blamed all religious, you know, right wing of, you know, the killing of that. That was devastation for everybody. I remember going back to, you know, years after, and the incredible separation between party were immense. And the devastation of the people of Israel was tremendous. I remember thinking to myself, oh my God, that was a guy that not just killed a man, a hero, a soldier, Prime Minister, he hurt the nation. It's so big. Because, you know, they didn't kill him. They took him and he's in jail. He's rotting in jail, of course. But the country changed her face. Everybody become hostile to each other. They were really, really bad moments in that experience. And I couldn't understand why, you know, they were wearing black all the time. 2000, year 2000, when I remember I came back to Israel and everybody was wearing black, and I was saying, God, what's wrong? You know, I don't know if it's connected, but it definitely was bad. And it took some time to mend it. And every rally of that memorial that was, you know, today is according to the Jewish calendar, apparently, is the memorial. But the idea is to make it, you know, close more or less day after. But in the American, you know, in the international calendar, it's the 4th of November, which is a very, very strong date. It's 20 years ago, 1995. And we have, since then, rally every year. And in every rally, they never put the anthem. The Israeli anthem did not play. I wonder why, which I think that was a mistake from them, because, it's, you know, that man did not kill the state of Israel. He killed the leader, the hero. And as long as we are here, we have a state. And Rabin would love that, I think. Not that I can talk for him, but I think that he wouldn't like to be negated from honoring the state you love so much. So today in the Israeli parliament, there was a big memorial for the 20th day, and of course many people were there. I went to the parliament, to the Knesset this morning, and I spent the day there, and of course many old member of parliament, minister were there, and others. But I was surprised by the comments of the opposition leader, Itzhak Herzog, today, which was really attacking Prime Minister Netanyahu. Prime Minister Netanyahu used the platform to speak about the fact that he's still fighting us. There was, you know, Prime Minister Rabin fight for peace, but they're still fighting us. And that court is not in accord. Of course, everybody is right, because nobody is happy with the situation. The fact that the Palestinians issue is using terror to achieve something. And I really feel that this is a moment to say that, you know, you never, never pay ransom on terror. And any time you all think that, you know, give them what they want so they go away. No, it's not like that. You cannot submit yourself to any kind of terror. And that's where we are going to shift. And we're going to talk about, you know, how we attack and we win terror. And it's not easy. It will take some kind of movement to make it happen. But just remember, there's Israeli Arabs that live in Israel. They are a part of this nation like everybody else, and you expect them to obey the law like everybody else. The fact that they are like their cousins, Palestinians, and think that they can use them for their own reason. I don't know what reason it is for to destroy the very state they live in. It's an oxymoron, because everyone who lives in Israel is a part of Israel. And if you're Israeli, no matter where you are from, just remember that your part of this is important as anybody else. and you keep the peace and order, is a part of being civilized society. If you submit yourself to terror, to attacking anything, you become the goons and the terrorists that your enemies are. Please don't take a part of it. Now it's time that we go on. Life is about surviving, and we need, of course, with love and great memory from the man, Yitzhak Rabin, we need to keep on going. Life is short, and those years have their part of history. We still have to make, you know, the days count. It's important for us to do so. Let's listen to some music, and after that, we'll talk about what's new. All right, it's Orly Benny Davis with Impossible Truth on BBS Radio. As usual, this is the people voice, and we are very happy if you join us here today. It's a very important time in the history of mankind, because we are trying, and we will, to overcome, you know, evil. And it's not easy, but at least we have a few champions that we can count on. Those champions go across nation, across borders, they, you know, in the darkness, and they save the day, they save lives, and they make it happen. Those are U.S. troops, U.S. troops that made a tremendous, tremendous salvation to 70 Kurds that were supposed to get, you know, to be lynched. I don't know how to call it. They were on a verge to be dead, let's say. And there they go. They went there and they saved the day. Let's see if we can have some notes from that story.
The deadly battle was the first time U.S. forces have directly engaged ISIS fighters on the ground in Iraq. In a joint operation with Kurdish fighters, U.S. Special Operations Forces from the elite Delta Force raided an ISIS compound to rescue hostages believed to be in imminent danger of execution. U.S. warplanes dropped bombs on makeshift ISIS training camps, staging sites, and bridges in the area. Then five helicopters brought in nearly 30 U.S. Special Forces and 40 Kurdish fighters. As they approached the walled compound, a firefight broke out. When the mission was over, the U.S. aircraft overhead destroyed the site. U.S. forces were not meant to enter the compound or directly engage the ISIS fighters. But when Kurdish forces inside the compound were overwhelmed, the U.S. commander made the decision to enter the firefight. The U.S. soldier killed was shot inside the compound. U.S. forces have been in Iraq on a train, advise, and assist mission. The Pentagon challenged it over the decision to participate in this operation.
This was a unique circumstance. This was a support mission in which they were providing support to the Iraqi, to the Kurdistan regional government, and U.S. forces are not in an active combat mission in Iraq.
In the days before the raid, U.S. surveillance spotted mass graves dug and ready inside the compound, prompting immediate action. U.S. officials say that 70 prisoners were rescued, 20 Iraqi security forces, as well as Iraqi civilians, and, interestingly, ISIS fighters accused of spying. Missing, however, were the Kurdish captives they were sent in to rescue.
It's not clear to us exactly who would be there, and so that's one of the things we're going through right now, the debriefs as to exactly who those folks were.
All right, we are back. Delta Forces, wow. What a powerhouse. Just think about those people. They were about to be, you know, killed, God, executed. And there were those angels coming to save them. I can't believe, you know, how instant things can change. And whoever, you know, lose faith sometimes, please don't remember there is God, and is, you know, there is sometimes those miracles that makes it happen. And he sends, you know, angels, and thank God for those, you know, that go across enemy lines and save lives. You know, we always don't, you know, we take for granted those people who volunteer to go and risk their life for mankind, and we don't realize what they're doing. Just imagine, they've been for so many years in Iraq, and the battle to keep America safe after 9/11, which devastated everybody, and we can never stop being surprised at the audacity of those men who try to shock everybody. And they shook us. They shook us. The economy was shaking. Everything, the security, the safeguards, you know, the democracy is always, you know, about being free and everything. And then you have to have this Patriot Act that, you know, gives the permission to everybody to listen to everybody. Of course, it's normal things, but, you know, it's still a barrier that people had a problem with. I think that life is important more than privacy, and we need to keep the world safe and whatever it takes. Now in this round, it seems that, you know, Russia is taking a very strong hand too, is giving some power, you know, to the good side, which should combat. And, you know, the Russians don't tend to tell us all what they're doing, so we don't have really information about their heroic help or whatever they're doing to fight ISIS. But once we get American, you know, information, we're very, very proud and we're happy. And I don't mind playing another segment about it. Can we play another segment about it? That would be good.
The information still coming in, very sketchy, but a short time ago, a U.S. official directly familiar with the latest information told CNN there has been one U.S. military fatality in this hostage rescue mission overnight in Iraq. Apparently, U.S. Special Operations Forces were ordered into this mission to rescue a number of Kurdish hostages. We're told the estimate is that some 70 Kurdish hostages were rescued. The Kurds, of course, are in northern Iraq. This is a group that the U.S. has been, the U.S. military especially, has been working very closely with. I think it is safe to assume that there were some Kurdish elements there on the ground with the U.S. troops. They do work hand in hand, but this would be, to the best of our knowledge, the first U.S. combat fatality on the ground in the war against ISIS. U.S. troops are not on the ground in combat under President Obama's orders. They have gone in a couple of times into Syria on the ground for hostage rescue missions, for capturing high-value targets. But this is not something that we have yet seen a U.S. service member potentially killed on the ground in this war against ISIS. More information will be unfolding here at the Pentagon in the coming hours. The information still coming in, very sketchy, but a short time ago, a U.S. official directly familiar with the latest information told CNN there has been one U.S. military fatality in this hostage rescue mission overnight in Iraq. Apparently, U.S. Special Operations Forces were ordered into this mission to rescue a number of Kurdish hostages. We're told the estimate is that some 70 Kurdish hostages were rescued. The Kurds, of course, are in northern Iraq. This is a group that the U.S. has been, the U.S. military especially, has been working very closely with. I think it is safe to assume that there were some Kurdish elements there on the ground with the U.S. troops. They do work hand in hand, but this would be, to the best of our knowledge, the first U.S. combat fatality on the ground in the war against ISIS. U.S. troops are not on the ground in combat under President Obama's orders. They have gone in a couple of times into Syria on the ground for hostage rescue missions, for capturing high-value targets. But this is not something that we have yet seen a U.S. service member potentially killed on the ground in this war against ISIS. More information will be unfolding here at the Pentagon in the coming hours.
It's Orly Benny Davis with Impossible Truth. That was another segment about the heroic, exercise of what's the salvation? How you call it? You know, the act of heroism that the American troops went through to Iraq. And I'm so sorry that, you know, one soldier lost his life. May rest in peace. It's not easy. It's life. It's the battles. It's the things that we have to sacrifice in order to keep our world free. I remember so many poets, so many people wrote about freedom and how expensive it is, because freedom is ain't free. That's what they say. You have to pay for it every day. And sometimes we forget because we are in our la-la land and we are, in our surrounding, the safe havens. We surround ourselves with friends and family, and we are in our little villages, no place special, just, one part of the world. And everything seems to be nice and dandy, and on the other side of the moon, people are starving, people are fighting, people killing each other, women are kidnapped, et cetera, et cetera. And we're saying, are we responsible? I guess if they say that the wings of butterfly influence the hurricane on the other side of the world, it means that we all are responsible, because we don't know if our action can determine somebody else's life or way of living. But something is true. We need to keep our world safe. And we need to remember that nothing is given for granted. And we have to cherish what we have. We have to respect the gift that God gave us. And the spreading that we had, the cheerful spending that we used to have in America is something that right now everybody is paying the bill for it. And it's so sad, because the next generation is not supposed to carry the load of the extravagant lifestyle that we used to have. The question of the day is, what was so special with extravagant life? Why we cannot be settled with a nice house, garden, just simple food, dress up nice, have a life, have a children, have a dog if you want, have a regular car, pickup truck, whatever you guys like. What's so wrong with that picture? Why is the world start running race of luxury yachts, luxury planes, luxury cars, luxury clothing? You think about, the price tag on a shirt that you can wear. You can buy a T-shirt and you can be happy, and you can buy, $1,000 shirt and not be happy. Doesn't buy happiness. It's just waste. And that waste is something that I want to tell you about. We say in our tradition, in Jewish tradition, is that you have buckets. Yeah, but it's in the February 31st of the year, you know, we ask for redemption every year, and we have a forgiveness day of Kippur, and we fast, and we have forgiveness, and then we say, we have a bucket. Every year you got one bucket. It means that's so much that is given to you. Now, you can open one store, or you cannot open 20 stores. It still will be the same bucket. This is your giving or taking in one day, in one year, and this is what you're going to have. Now, the world bucket, for some reason, was drained. We drained it because the time that we were supposed to save, we had prosperity. What did we learn from anything, from history? When you have prosperity, you're supposed to save. It's nice to remember aftermath, but that's the way it is. We need to remember, and whoever have a prosperity in this time, please save for, you know, for a rainy day, they call it. We call rainy day a blessed day because it means that it's blessing when you're rainy, but do understand. Let's get some music, and we'll be back.
Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. It's not warm when she's away. Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. She's always gone too long. Anytime she goes away. Wonder this time where she's gone.
All right, and we are back. This is Orly Benny Davis with Impossible Truth. You know, there is no sunshine when she goes, and somebody knows that I left. I left the party. You know, to be a journalist and to be a part of a party is really hard because, you know, journalism is something right center. You know, you need to be centered to keep your balance going. And every time you have, you have a shifting or imbalance, you feel a little uncomfortable. So I concur with the fact that journalists cannot have a party and they need to be free of it. If not, they cannot do right reporting. So I pull out of the Likud party. Well, I got upset. I really got upset. Because the way that they conducted their little tiny dispute, and I'm calling it tiny dispute because to tell the world you're mad about, you know, people walking by your holy places, it's really ridiculous, and everybody should call it as it is. They said, you know, people are stabbing people in the street because Jewish people went by their holy site. This is like, oh, you're passing by my house, you know, and get upset. That's ridiculous. And, you know, I understand that they can get mad about religion aspect, of course. I don't undermine it. But we should treat it as it is. It's bogus. It's nothing to say, you know, you guys are walking by my holy site, and we say, no, we don't. Well, we do. We walk. And what's wrong with that? Let's ask. Let's talk. Let's make a conversation. Now, people want to come to holy places. Why you are upset? Why you are upset? And by the way, those 10 acres are not the mosque. The acres are geographically part of Jerusalem. You know, they call Temple Mount, but, you know, you have a mosque and nobody gets into the mosque. You don't let anybody else in the mosque. So stop saying that. And Al-Aqsa is on the right-hand side. Nobody even goes there. And, you know, to walk in the gardens of a church, does it mean anything? What does it mean? I don't know, but even if we don't understand, let's ask. Let's say it is American way. What is your problem? What was the problem? Because I don't understand what you guys are talking about. So I was really upset because I think that, you know, comprehensive understanding needs to come with understanding and talking. You cannot blame each other and you cannot say, oh, you guys are lying. No, I just want to know why you're upset. Because I don't know what you're lying about, but I want to know why you're upset. Let's start talking. If you want to start talking, if you know, stabbing people on the street because in the name of what? And of course, you know, some Jewish people that have a yarmulke and, oh, come on, that's old news. Don't just get over that story. All right? Let's keep on going. We have a new election. We had a new election in Canada and we had a new guy elected. And young, promising, and of course, good, very good looking, which we like, girls. We really like it because we like our leaders. You know, if we need to watch them and talk to them, listen to them, at least let them be good looking, you know. I'm sorry, I'm sometimes, you know, it's really ridiculous, but you know, how much you can listen to somebody you don't like looking at. So Canada has something, and I know that there is always controversy because all those fearless, you know, all fearful people will put something in the salt. But I trust the spirit of a youngster, and I wish him all the best. I know the last Prime Minister of Canada was outstanding. It was fantastic, and we loved him, and we wish him all well. But let's listen to what I found about the new one.
Justin Trudeau is not yet the prime minister. Stephen Harper still is for a few more weeks. The changeover won't happen until Trudeau and the rest of his Liberal cabinet are sworn in by the governor general. But Trudeau is already setting foreign policy, as I described in detail here in this video. In his very first phone call with U.S. President Barack Obama, Justin Trudeau said he's going to bail out from the anti-terrorist combat mission in Syria and Iraq. As you know, Canada has 6 CF-18 fighter jets there, plus a refueling plane and a reconnaissance plane. We're doing good work. According to the Department of Defense, our fighters have made more than 1,000 sorties. Trudeau wants us to stop attacking terrorists. Why? I mean, if Canada won't use our military against the kind of Islamic Nazis who literally line up rows of innocent civilians and slit their throats en masse for the crime of being Christian, when will we ever use our military? What does it say about Canada when we can't be counted on to stand up to pure evil like that? Justin Trudeau says he wants to take 25,000 refugees from ISIS by Christmas. If he really cared about those people, why wouldn't he want to stop the murderers who are creating the crisis in the first place? Could you imagine if in the Second World War, if Canada had said, well, no, we're not going to actually do any fighting alongside our allies, but if any refugees can survive the Nazis, we'll take in 25,000 of them. That's Canada under Justin Trudeau. He's destroying our national moral character, changing us from people who protect the innocent from terrorists into people who stand by and offer, oh, I don't know, warm jackets to any survivors.
There's a lot of people, refugees, displaced peoples fleeing violence who are facing a very, very cold winter in the mountains. If something Canada has expertise on, it's how to face a winter in the mountains with the right kind of equipment.
But here's the real risk. It's not that the United States lacks the fighter jets or the bombs to take on the Islamic State. Our real purpose is to show that this is a coalition of liberal democracies that are united against evil, that it's not just the U.S. on its own, that the whole civilized world is going to take on these barbarians together. If Canada peels away from the coalition, not only does it undermine America's position, but it gives an excuse, a precedent to every other country to do so. I mean, we're the best friend and ally of the United States. We share so much history, culture, language. We share the world's longest undefended border. If Canada won't be there for the U.S., why should any other ally? You see the problem, the domino effect that could happen? This is already making waves in the U.S. Here's the CNN story about it. Look, I'm a critic of Obama and the U.S., these days under the Democrats, but the one thing he's doing right is fighting the Islamic State. He's not doing it hard enough. He left the void that Vladimir Putin has filled. The whole problem in the Islamic State arose when Obama abandoned Iraq prematurely just so he could boast about it in the 2012 election. But that's water under the bridge. That's not important now. What's important now is that the terrorist state, I mean, the Islamic State that literally has millions of people under Nazi-like conditions, a real country that's the size of the UK, it's important that they be destroyed. It's important that those terrorists are killed. It's important for the safety of the world, including for us. It's important that the Islamic State not become a training and launching ground for terrorism around the world, including here in Canada. That it not be a magnet to draw Canadian youth, dozens of whom have gone there to fight already. And it's important for us as Canadians to know that part of our national character is that we fight against evil. And if you won't fight against these murderers of children, you will never fight. Frankly, the fact that we're abusing our friendship and alliance with the U.S. is minor to how Justin Trudeau is abusing our own moral compass here. I want to do two things. Will you help me out? First, I want to let Justin Trudeau know that what he's proposing is not in sync with Canadian values. I want to show him that tens of thousands of Canadians, including a great many Muslims and Arabs, want Canada to fight against the Islamic State terrorists. Justin Trudeau probably thinks he looks anti-Muslim if he attacks terrorists. The opposite. Fighting Muslim terrorists proves that they are different and distinct and reprehensible as compared to normal Muslims. So we've launched an online petition demanding that Justin Trudeau continue our very modest role in the anti-ISIS military coalition. Will you sign it? I mean, how could you not sign it? Who on earth could possibly say, don't use our fighter jets against the Islamic State terrorists? Our fighter pilots want to do this. We have an all-volunteer armed forces. This is what they signed up to do, and they're doing it very well. Only Justin Trudeau's own extremist politics are against it. Please sign the petition by clicking right here or going to the link under this video. And one more thing. I just know that the great majority of Canadians want to keep up the fight here too. I know it in my bones, but I want to prove it scientifically. Will you please help me commission a professional, statistically valid opinion poll to canvass Canadian public opinion on this matter to show that it's real Canadians, even Liberal Party voters, who want to fight these terrorists? A professional poll like that costs us about $1,500. If you can click here, you can chip in to help us pay for that poll. And as soon as we get the poll results, I'll email them to you as well as, of course, we'll broadcast the results on the show. Look, Justin Trudeau won the election, but that doesn't mean we stop believing in what's right and wrong. It doesn't mean we stop fighting against terrorists. Liberals used to know right from wrong, including Pierre Trudeau, who brought out the Canadian Army to take on the FLQ terrorists in Quebec. If enough Canadians sign a petition...
It's time to go back. It's Orly Benny Davis for the Impossible Truth. Of course, the Prime Minister of Canada doesn't want to get involved in a war that, you know, he's new to. Of course, nobody wants to fight a war, and especially those forces. But just trust in your people, trust in your army, trust in Canada, you know, because she's been, you know, quite some time the ally of the free world, and you know, by absence, it's actually helping the other side. So I don't think you have much choice on this one. Of course, you have a choice, but then you'll be on the other side of the balance. So I think it will be smart to pray to God and make it through that, you know, to the next side. Anyway, I heard that in Afghanistan there was a 7.2 strength earthquake on the north side of the border with Pakistan. More than 200 people killed. I'm so sorry for the loss of life. And, of course, devastation of the earthquake is scary. It's really, really scary. So, when nature is acting up also in, you know, in the forces with in the north, when in Syria, you know, Afghanistan earthquake is one thing, but then you have wind and weather condition in Syria. The forces, the Russian forces, having a hard time keeping their stuff together too. Makes you think that maybe God has a different plan, and maybe we start, you know, reassess what the condition on the ground are, say, do we need to come to a different plan? You know, sometimes God is in the play and you give us the cue. It's not easy. It's not that fun. But it happens all the time, and we just need to be smart to understand them when it comes, and don't resist, and pray for the safeguards of mankind everywhere. And the coming back of the light, big time light, to enlighten us all with wisdom, with love. Love in the heart of mankind is really needed everywhere. Caring, you know, helping, surrounding children with safeguards to see them through, you know, the ages. Anyway, let's get some music before we say goodbye. All right? Here, this will be nice because we have a few minutes to go before the end of the show, and this is Orly Benny Davis with Impossible Truth. An impossible truth to learn today, that the Haddock process meets their link to cancer. Well, I don't know if it's impossible to understand, but probably it was something that we saw it coming. Now, on Wednesday, we're going to talk about the little new European votes that are going to take place tomorrow. Europe is going to take a vote tomorrow about on the future of its internet. I really don't understand what's the big connection between their legislation aim to protect net neutrality across the EU. But there are loopholes that they have to, you know, to see, you know, that they don't undermine the process. But, you know, EU is really a blast. They always come up with some ideas and things that we need to come, you know, across. Where in America, it's all clear. I guess that they have a different way of thinking. It's okay. It's okay. Anyway, let's say goodbye now. It's time to go. It was fun. I know we started, you know, Robin, and then we went to the Delta Forces, and then we went to other information. Bear with me. Sometimes things are like that, all right? I love you all. I pray for you. God bless you. And I hope you have a great, great day to, you know, wherever you are. And we'll talk to you on Wednesday, God willing. Okay? Be well. Love you. Bye-bye. Ciao, ciao.
Hello. It's me. I was wondering if after all these years you'd like to meet, to go over everything. They say the time's supposed to heal you, but I ain't done much healing. Hello.